And welcome into the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody's off to a great start to their day. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you? What's going on?
I'm warmed over doggy doo-doo. How are you?
Warmed over doggy doo-doo. That does not sound good at all. Nor do you sound great.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God, this is terrible. This is not how it'll be, I promise you. Hold on. That's bad. It'll be fine. It'll be just fine. Yeah. Like I said, I'm a snot geyser, dude.
It goes around this time of year with the spring and the weather changing over. It's good stuff. Always fun out there. Keyser, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning, fellas. Doing well. Just hanging out. Robbie, did you get a little stuck this morning?
Yeah, I went outside perfectly, on schedule, ready to come in, and then the car didn't start. So that's a tough
bummer,
one.
Man. So, how many times has that happened in the last year?
I think zero.
Yeah, I don't remember really? That happening.
Well, I thought there was one time where I got stranded and opened the show for the first half hour, and I had David Janes here.
That was a previous vehicle, and that was the death of said vehicle.
That's right.
But that one started just fine. It just died in the middle of driving.
Yikes.
So we're not talking about the death of this said vehicle, are we?
I don't think so. No, I think it's just a battery thing. So going to get that figured out at some point today, hopefully. We'll see what happens on that front. We got a lot to get into on the program today. Todd Richards, Predators assistant coach, will be with us at 7:30. Preds are back in action tonight, taking on the St. Louis Blues for the third time in the last 10 days. So a very familiar opponent coming up tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. We've got some NCAA tournament conversations to get into today, and our best and worst things in sports coming up at 6:45. So a lot happening today on the show. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. And, Joe, I want to pick up with where we were going a little bit with our conversation with Kuharski yesterday. You know, we had somebody text in and start asking about, like, organizationally, what is success next year? And Kuharski's answer was basically, like, in short, like, if you want to have a – you know, kind of a short version of the answer, you know, perform well enough where Brian Callahan keeps his job next year, right? Like, get to the end of next season and Brian Callahan's got his job, because that would probably signal, you know, if you're drafting Cam Ward, that you're pleased with the progress that Cam Ward made in year one. I don't know exactly what that would mean, Joe, from a record standpoint, but I mean, I would assume it's probably not a total disaster on the record standpoint if you're bringing the coach back. But it takes me back to this, Joe, because I guess from that conversation, how safe is Callahan? Like, if they draft Cam Ward and that's the way they're going in the draft, how do they view Callahan heading into this year? Look, Stilley's not backing down off it. You know, Stilley talked about at the end of the season last year when they made the decision to fire Rand Carthon that he had heard that they wanted it, that Brinker had wanted to fire Brian Callahan as well. And he talked yesterday about how they're basically going to fire Brian Callahan after this year. We'll see what happens on the record standpoint. He was like, but, you know, barring some crazy season where they, like, make the playoffs or something, probably going to fire Brian Callahan at the end of the year and go get your guy. So I'm looking at all this, Joe, and I'm throwing the question out there of, like, how in danger is Brian Callahan heading into this year? And if it's a situation where he's got to hit a certain benchmark in terms of wins, or there's some extreme thing that he's got to do to keep his job, to me, it makes the decision to not clean house this last year just all the more stupid. If you were going to draft a quarterback and you've got, you know, a head coach that may get fired after year one. We've talked about, you know, the idea of drafting Cam Ward, having him go, you know, learn Callahan's system and then come back, and then you fire him and he's got to learn an entire new system the second year. That's how you start to damage quarterbacks. I wonder, behind closed doors, if they're going Cam Ward here, what exactly does Brian Callahan have to do to keep his job next season?
I mean, if it's truly like some foregone conclusion, then they are truly idiots. Like that's just, how could you possibly go about your business that way? I have a hard time believing that. I'm sorry. I have a very hard to, I don't have a hard time believing, you know, that was a strong consideration, that maybe he said that to someone and, you know, game of telephone, whatever. Okay. Like I highly doubt that he told Stilly that. But, you know, I can buy that, like, that was talked about, sure. Like, it wasn't good last year, and it's like, man, okay, do you cut bait? Once you get to this point, and especially if you're drafting a quarterback, it just makes no sense at all that that would still be your mindset, that basically he'd have to do something crazy to keep his job. That's just – that's – I mean, I can't – I just can't buy that. I'm sorry. I can't buy it, and I'm not buying it. So I'm going to operate in – the real world, and I understanding that these people, you know, have already done some very goofy things, but I'm going to operate in the range of what I would think is the real world, where if you're doing this, if he is your coach, if you are going to get this quarterback, then you're going to give him a fair shot. And if you like how things go between the quarterback and him, that's more important than the bottom line this year, if you're realistic about your roster. Has to be. So I just... You know, I think there has to be some overall improvement, you know, in and I don't know if that's, I mean, it's hard to put your finger on. Some things are like you have to see it week to week. Do they look a little bit more like a football team on a week to week basis? You know, do they look a little, does it look like they've got some things that have advanced from last year to this year? But ultimately, I think it is a quarterback. It's a quarterback improving. It's a quarterback showing signs that he can be really good. And yeah, win some football games, but I mean, I think it's Cam Ward. And if it's, again, if it's not, if it's something where, well, you better go 10-7 or else, or whatever, you know, thing that you would put out there that's not realistic, then again, why are you doing that to Cam Ward? That's just beyond silly.
Well, it doesn't make any sense to me. I'm with you. Like, to me, look, I was team Cleam House at the end of last year. Like, I think you should have moved on from Rand Carthane, and you should have moved on from Brian Callahan and started this whole process anew. And this is part of the problem that you run into when you don't do that stuff, is now you've got all these people on different timelines, and you've got Borgonzian, who did not hire Brian Callahan. And if things go poorly at some point, Callahan's going to be the first one that gets blamed, and we'll see what happens and all that. So, like, it's already stupid the way that they've set this up in my mind. But now that you've done it, Joe, like, I would hope that there's been some – I mean, you've got to give your quarterback the best opportunity possible to succeed. Now, look, I don't know. Maybe it becomes painfully obvious, like, halfway through the year this year, that Brian Callahan's just not a good coach. Like, it certainly was not a good first year for him. Maybe it becomes obvious at some point this year where it's like, well, Brian Callahan is just not ready for this, and he's not a good head coach. And you have no choice at the end of the year to make a change. But it's not a great start. Like, the idea of drafting Cam Ward, bringing him in, learning Brian Callahan's offense and the system and the way that he wants to do things, and then just moving on from that after 1 year, if it's bad. I mean, it's just, you can already see where that's setting your quarterback up to not have success long term. Now, is it impossible for a quarterback to overcome a coaching change after his first year? No, but it's certainly not great. Like, it's not exactly how you want your quarterback starting his career at that point.
Yeah, I mean, if you have someone in mind, you know, talking about like Borgonzi's got a guy, okay, well, then do it now. You should have done it. If you really believe that you've got someone who, and again, we're also talking about, by the way, I mean, we're assuming they're taking a quarterback. I think we're going to be right, but we weren't not long ago. We were thinking differently on that, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, I would think it's possible they were too. But it's like, I don't know. It's almost like once you get to that point, and I know I understand, like, once you get into the offseason, you get away, all the staffs have been hired, you can't do something like that. Like, you have to do it at the right timing so that then you can be competitive and go get assistant coaches and all that. But if there's even any thought of that on the Borgonzi side of things, that he has some coach in mind that he can't wait to bring in here, then you have to do it right away. You know, I just, So if they're not all in on supporting Callahan and having an open mind on what he can do, then yes, they are absolutely destined for fantastic failure.
So let's throw it out there. Let's say the Titans draft Cam Ward, and that's the way they're going at number one, which it certainly appears like it is. What's that going to mean for Brian Callahan? What does Brian Callahan have to do to show that he's the guy for the job? And how should the Titans approach Brian Callahan as head coach by drafting a quarterback at number one overall? We'll get into all that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025, 1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on Brian Callahan and the Titans, 615-737-1025. What does Brian Callahan have to do to keep his job this year, and how does Cam Ward factor into that? Got T-Bone texting in, Joe, that says, how many games does Callahan have to win to consider it a successful season and save his job? I understand that part of the question. And I'm not saying that the games won is not important because ultimately, of course, it is. But it, to me, if you're evaluating Callahan this year, isn't it almost, I'm not going to say totally exclusively, but isn't it mostly like how does Cam Ward come along? Like what does Cam Ward do if that's the way you're going and you're drafting him? Like I think a lot of the decision on Brian Callahan should be, how do you feel Cam Ward is tracking throughout the year? And do you feel like Brian Callahan and Cam Ward have a chance by season's end to really be a force moving forward here?
Yeah, I mean, like, what if the Titans, what if they actually do more for Cam Ward? They draft him, and let's say I mean, they're going to sign somebody at receiver. It's not going to be anybody who really changes the math, but they draft a receiver at 35. Then maybe they, again, like the draft is offense heavy with the idea of helping Cam Ward, and it does help him. And the offense looks better, and he looks promising, and they score points. But the defense, not addressed well enough, is bad, and they're losing games, 31-28 instead of 20-17. But they go, 5-12. Like there's a scenario where
That's
if
two
Cam,
game improvement, baby. You're getting that win-loss record up.
that's right. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Look, I do feel like if it's like 2-15, at some point it's like, man, are we sure this guy knows how to win football games at all in this league? I mean, I think there's some. I mean, I think like a bottom line has to matter a little, but it is so much how you get there, right? And so again, if Cam Ward, that's why Brian Callahan got this job, is to work with young quarterbacks. He's 0 for 1 in seasons working with young quarterbacks. Blame him, don't blame him, whatever you want to do, he's 0 for 1. That's what it, like Levis is 0 for 1 and he's 0 for 1. So that's just what it is. But if this year it's a 1 for 1 with Cam Ward, yeah, I just and again like tell me how they're losing the games, how they look. It's the weekly experience is what we can't really obviously we can't live it, And last year, I mean, I guess it was bad enough that you consider moving on from him, but I'll say this again too, Robbie. A big draw of hiring Brian Callahan was Bill Callahan, and so I also asked that, is he going to have Dan Moore in here and he's going to play like a legit left tackle and they're going to look like a legit offensive line? That's an asset that you have to think real hard about getting rid of if it all of a sudden sort of, pays off this year.
Rick and Gallatin saying, didn't we have this same conversation with Levis last year? How did that go? I mean, to me, it's not the same conversation. Like, number one, you're talking about a number one overall pick here. And number two,
And a
no,
rookie.
we were not having conversations about firing the first year head coach heading into last year. No, we were not. I could promise you, we were not having conversations before Brian Callahan had ever coached a game about firing Brian Callahan heading into the year. Now, as the year went on, we got there at some point because of how bad it was. But no, like this is to me is a very different situation for Brian Callahan heading into this year.
Unless Rick just means the same conversation about Brian Callahan being a quarterback developer, I mean, so if that's the case, yes, but I would also say that, it's, you probably go through with any coach. I mean, again, let's go with Bill Callahan as an offensive line coach. He's known as one of the best that the NFL has seen. There's plenty of guys, he didn't develop any good players, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't, it's not, he's not 100%. He's not even close to 100%. Because some guys are not, they are not, they're just not good enough. And there's nothing you can do. So I am definitely willing to give him a pass on the 1 year with Levis last year, especially because when you live through that experience, you realized how much there seemed to be Levis getting it, Levis in the film room, Levis in the meeting room, practice field, and then in the games doing stuff that they were stunned by at times, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying there's no responsibility there for the coach, but I have a little bit more sympathy with stuff like that.
Wes in Clarksville asking how many wins that we see the Titans getting with Cam. I think it's a really hard question to answer right now, Joe, just because frankly – like, let's say they get Cam Ward, and Cam Ward's ready to play, and he's pretty good. That's great. I'm still looking at their receiving room right now, and I'm wondering who's catching the ball. And on defense, like, who's getting after the passer? Like, right now, they still have a pretty bad roster. So, like, you know, will quarterback – like, if Cam Ward comes in and is improved significantly from the quarterback play that they got last year, which is not a guarantee, by the way, but if he is, obviously that's going to help. And you'll probably win more games just by default with better quarterback play than you got last year. But I'm still looking at the roster, and it's like, man, their receiving core is basically non-existent outside of Calvin Ridley, and I have no clue who's rushing the passer. So I'm not overly encouraged by what he's surrounded with at the moment.
Right. I mean, at this point, I look at this roster, I see very few wins. There are more signings ahead, you know, on the cheaper side of free agency. There have to be more signings, and then they have to have a great draft. It's possible they have a great draft, and all of a sudden some holes are filled, and it looks more like a, you know, not a complete, but more like a team with a chance. Right now, it doesn't look like much of a team with a chance.
No, and again, like, if, I mean, Cam Ward's great, then that changes things, right? Like, you can see a quarterback come in, play really, really well, and maybe he elevates some guys. Like, that's ultimately what you want your quarterback to do. I just think it's, you know, first off, it's a tough bar to have for a rookie. I know we've seen two do it the last couple of years in Stroud and Daniels. So there's recency bias kind of look at that. Those guys are still kind of the outlier coming in as rookies. So I think it's important to keep that in mind with Cam Ward. Now, I'm not saying he can't do something like that. That's just not the norm when that happens.
Yeah, I mean, even, like, look at the Bears. I'm not giving up on Caleb Williams. I don't think Bears fans are really either. I mean, you saw certainly some good moments, some good games, and there's a lot of talent there. But they were bad, you know, and he certainly wasn't consistent. So, but you know, like, they're moving forward, and now, of course, you know, he's also an example of someone who, you know, they're the ultimate example of a team on different timelines. It just keeps going around and around in circles like that. So, but I'm just saying, like, not winning, not being consistent, but still after the end of the year, you're like, yeah, you can see it there. Now he's got a new coach, and we'll see. You know, obviously the hope is that takes off. That happens, and that could happen here. But another difference there is that the coach that was fired there was not supposed to be that guy. He was he was a defensive coach, and this is supposed to be that guy.
Well, another thing too, and this is, I realize that what I'm about to say, it's more complicated than that, but I do think it plays a factor. Who would you say are the best four quarterbacks in the AFC right now? If you had to break it down, your top four quarterbacks in the AFC, probably some version of Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Lamar Jackson, right? Like, I think it's pretty universal what we would think. Well, look at those guys. I mean, Mahomes has had the same head coach the entire time. Allen's had the same head coach the entire time. Jackson's had the same head coach the entire time. Burrow's had the same head coach the entire time. It's not as simple as that, but man, does it help if you can get the quarterback and the head coach on the same page and they can build together as they move up.
For sure. And also, it helps if, I mean, those situations are different, but it helps if the quarterback is so good that he makes the coach look better, you know?
Yeah.
So,
that's what makes the Allen one in particular so interesting, is because he was not good and they were not good for a couple of years there, and they stuck with it. And now here they are.
Yeah, that's yeah, exactly. Something to be said for that, for sure. So no, that's a great point. And obviously, I think both sides of that equation have helped the other side, you know, but I hope the Titans are open-minded and supportive and actually not, you know, holding some ridiculous standard up here in their minds that Brian Callen has to reach this year. I mean, I think you're doomed. I think you're doomed as a front office if that's how you look at things.
Well, and then that's not even factoring in, you know, ownership, that what happens when they get through a season and they're 5-12 and that's not good enough for Amy Adams Strunk. Is she just going to fly off the handle and pull the trigger on another firing at that point? You can never, obviously, discount that at the end of the year as well.
Yeah. But hey, you know, apparently, you know, more hands off for Amy. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe she won't even watch the games next year. You know, just tell me how I'm doing. Stadium's getting built. Okay. All right. I'm happy then. Stadium's getting built.
Just catch up with it on SportsCenter. It's like, oh, look. They won yesterday. How about that? 615-737.
Oilers throwbacks. Nice.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. Get into a little NCAA tournament conversation coming up. We got the Sweet 16 coming up. And the ratings for the NCAA tournament, really, really good. And some differing opinions on why there's been no Cinderellas and whether or not that's good for the sport moving forward here. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up at 6:45. Joe, the Sweet 16 resuming, and we'll see if Tennessee can get past Kentucky over the weekend and ultimately punch their ticket to the Final Four for the first time in program history. In the meantime, some interesting takes here on what the tournament's been like so far. So on the one hand, Joe, you've got the numbers that have been really good. Like the opening day in particular, the ratings for that were outstanding. So the numbers were really good around the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament. And then you look at who has advanced to the Sweet 16. And as we talked about on Monday, there's really not a Cinderella in this tournament. Not your classic Cinderella anyway. And some people say, well, that's bad. Like Stephen A. Smith, I think earlier this week, said if it continues this way, it's going to be the death of college basketball, which may be a little dramatic, but that's what Stephen A. Smith said. Other people love it. And I kind of made my point earlier this week, Joe, that I think people like to see upsets early in the tournament. And then I think as the tournament goes on and you get deeper, you want to see the best teams kind of battle it out. So, Joe, where do you come down on how to view this, the tournament to this point, and what this means for college basketball moving forward here? First mute of Joe's day. There we go.
Great. Yeah, Stephen A. Smith. Wow, you know, there's a new feature on this. Okay, on this Zoom, it actually had a little thing that popped up and said, you are muted, unmute, like a separate button. Have you ever seen that before?
I think so, yeah.
I've never seen that before. Okay, Stephen A. Smith, as I was trying to say. Yeah, he just also said he would have swung on LeBron. Yeah, okay, bro.
I saw that,
no,
too.
No, I know. You would have swung on LeBron. I know you would have, Stephen. Yes. My God. I mean, I think Stephen A. Smith is a good example of, like, you know, if you don't really follow something, then you shouldn't, like, say much about it. I guess I don't know what the expertise is with him, but it's a ridiculous comment, you know, the death of the tournament. Now, I said this on Jared versus Joe, a charitable Caroline gift to Jared yesterday. You know, that I do think this is split up into people who, like, really like college basketball, follow it during the year, like, know the teams, know the players, et cetera, and the people who jump on board. As I call them, the casuals, and I'm not trying to be I'm not trying to be some arrogant, again, it's like the soccer people and the hockey people and the college, I'm not trying to be like that, but it is the casuals, right? And I totally get it. Like they come on in March and you do want to see a St. Peter's story or a George Mason, get into the Final Four. Again, like if Drake had just won one more game, then Drake would be, a great example. I know Northern Colorado just promoted their assistant who, I mean, he made an insane shot for Northern. I covered him losing to Michigan State in the Sweet 16 in 2010. He made that insane shot basically to bury Kansas, the shocker of that tournament in 2010. And then, so then what happens? They lose to Michigan State and then you have a Michigan State Tennessee Elite Eight game. It's kind of like how you like it, right? It's like, yeah, okay, give me one of these teams for a weekend for sure. Let me have a week of let's hear all the stories about this team and then let's get to the big boys. So, like you said, the ratings are the best since 1993. You're talking an average of 9.5 per game million. Those are big, big numbers. That tells you something. The tournament's not close to death. I don't want us to lose Cinderella for good. I think Jared made a good point yesterday. You can go back through years when we just haven't had them randomly. So is that what we are now, or are we moving because of more and more mid-major players being paid to go to power schools? Is it going to get less and less? I worry about that a little bit. I'm not ready to call this a permanent trend, but I don't know how anybody, again, unless you just really don't like college basketball, which is fine if you don't, but if you do at all, how could you not be excited about these games? I mean, tonight we got amazing games. Tomorrow we got amazing games. I mean, that's, and that's what you really want at this level.
Well, that's what I want. Like, look, I'm not going to sit here and speak for all sports fans, but like, I'm cool with Cinderella for a game, maybe two. And then, inevitably along the way, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, what happens in those situations, Joes, is the Cinderella team looks great for a game, maybe two games. And then there eventually comes a point where they get beat by about 30. And you're like, oh, okay, well, that was a nice, fun story here. Give me the good games in the Sweet 16. Give me the power programs in the Elite Eight. That's what I want to see. And I think because of that, Joe, I think what you'll find this weekend, if it goes the way we think it's going to go with the quality of these games, I think the numbers this weekend will be fantastic as well. So I think this, the way that it's going this year, I think deep down is actually what most people want.
Yeah, like someone made the point, it's like, this is the only sport where, like, people totally complain if, like, the best teams end up meeting each other,
Right.
Yeah. It's like, in any other sport, it's like, oh, man, I hope we get those matchups, So, but again, I think some of that is the reality of college basketball, which is that there are a lot of people who really just don't watch it much, pay much attention until you get that bracket, And in that case... And look, I love, like, it would be great if one of these teams had been shocked. I mean, I do think that that's part of the charm of the tournament. But if they're all going to make it through, okay. We'll take a 1-4 Arizona Duke. We'll take a 1-4 Maryland Florida. You got a 6 and a 10 playing tonight, Arkansas. Yep. So it's not like it's totally chalk, but you've got some games that are a little bit surprising. What do you got tomorrow? You got the 2-3 Kentucky Tennessee.
Oh yeah.
You got the 1-4 Purdue Houston. Auburn Michigan is a 1-5, which is basically the same thing. And frankly, that's a more fun game to me than Auburn Texas A&M would have been. And then Michigan State Ole Miss is a 2-6 instead of a 2-3. But I mean, it's chalky. But again, like every single one of these games to me is I'm just upset that we can't space them out, to watch them all individually. But I know that's not, that's not how it works, and that's not how they're ever going to do it.
Well, I think what you brought up too is really the big question is the tournament trending because of NIL and transfer portal and all that stuff? Is it trending towards we just not going to see the Cinderellas as much as we used to? I don't know. Like, it could be. I do think in years past, with some of these Cinderella teams, you've had some teams that have played together for a while, which has been why they've been successful, because they've spent a lot of time playing together. And I do think that's probably going to be harder to pull off here. Like, it's, you know, we see it right now. If you're really, really good at some of these mid-major programs, a lot of times you're going to get poached by some of these bigger teams. So I don't know. Like, I'm with you. I'm not officially ready to say that this is absolutely the way it's going to be moving forward, but I definitely could see it. Like, it makes sense to me why, because of that, it would be less common for us to see some big time Cinderella story and, you know, huge upsets all the time in the NCAA tournament moving forward.
Gunner says NIL doesn't affect Cinderella. Cinderella is made up of experienced teams that'll play together for a long time. If one pops, usually a senior is going to be graduating. You got to be good and be Cinderella to get to that next level and get the big NIL. Well, no, Gunner. I mean, let's look at Belmont. We've talked about this, but what would Belmont be right now if they had Will Richard and Jacoby Gillespie in their backcourt? I think they'd be playing in the tournament right now. And then Kate, the kid who went to North Carolina too, the big shooter. So, I mean, so like that team would be a hell of a Cinderella candidate. We've talked about Florida Atlantic. They went to the Final Four 2 years ago. So what happened? Elijah Martin is paid to play at Florida. Johnny Davis paid to go play at Arkansas. Vlad Golden paid to go play at Michigan with his coach, who also left the Cinderella. I mean, that's now the coach is leaving. That's how it's always been, right?
Oh,
mid-majors, mid-majors. You have success, and then you're probably going to get poached but it used to be those players would still be at Florida Atlantic right now. How good would that freaking team be? I don't care who's I could coach them to like the round of 32, you know? So it affects it. And I think it may be less, but I also like, if you told me right now that there's going to be some 14 seed that makes a Sweet 16 next year, I'm not shocked by that, you know, because there are sometimes players that get a little bit ahead of the curve too. I mean, Drake's point guard is one of the best point guards in college basketball this year. He really is. Bennett Sturts, you know, and he played for Drake. Neat Clifford for Colorado State. The dude's a pro and he plays for Colorado State. So you're still going to have situations like that. Think about, I mean, Dalton Connect, I know, made a huge leap at Tennessee, but I mean, you're telling me that he was just a total scrub the year before that at Northern Colorado?
Right. Exactly. I mean, I think he'd be a pretty good coach.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I can run the old picket fence, do a little picket fence, teach the underhanded free throw, you know, with
a lost
water.
Art. Yeah,
that's exactly. Right. Yeah.
You will not drink water until you make 100 free throws.
Yeah, it's damn right. Yeah, we're going to bring it old school.
Got the best and worst things in sports coming up next. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles, yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in sports.
Yeah, real quick, Greg Sage, shout out to Greg Sage from Belmont, pointing out also, yeah, you know, Malik Dia. Belmont. Yep. So he's at Ole Miss. Evan Braun's played at Iowa this year. There's a heck of a starting five right now. That would be the best mid-major team in the country. I have a special edition of best and worst today, Robbie.
Okay.
And I think this may be a big moment for the show.
Okay.
So the worst is that I only found out about this like in the last week, which is why I get to use it as best in sports this week. Okay.
Okay.
The best in sports, and I believe that it is something we should adopt also, is that North Carolina coach Hubert Davis replaces the F word with fart. I mean, first of all, there's a headline. This is from, apparently this is like, this is not new, but there's a headline from January of 2024 about their defense. And the headline says silent, but deadly UNC's underrated defense.
Oh, wow.
Blah, blah, blah. So he, like Rick Barnes, does not curse.
Right.
But he has to. So shut the fart up. Get the fart over here. What are you farting doing, man? You mother farter. I swear, Robbie, I am going to use this liberally on this show, and I think our show has just got better right now. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, you could have
asked me. If you don't
like
it, fart off.
You could have asked me. You've got a million guesses to guess which way Rex Rhodes going here. Never would have got it. Never would have got it there. That's good stuff.
In our Slack channels at work, it'll just every once in a while, like someone will just be like, oh, "Shut the fart up!" It's fantastic.
Oh, it's beautiful. Keezer, hard to follow
Hubert
that one
Davis.
Up.
Yeah, that's a little difficult to follow up. Wow, my gosh! But that's going to be a good old drop for us at some point, man. But
I would imagine so.
Yeah. All right. Best, real
it's
quick.
It's going to be used. We don't need drops. It's the way I talk now.
Well, that and buns and cheeks, I guess, right? So,
yes.
All right.
There's a lot of that going on.
There is a lot of that going on. All right, best for me this week, just a quick stat. I saw that the viewership of the NCAA tournament is averaging 9.4 million viewers through the first two rounds. It's the most in 32 years. That's pretty cool. And also honorable mention, NSC three-game win streak. Just want to throw that in there. Worst is that Juju Watkins tore her ACL in the first quarter just the other night. And brutal news, it came right after her spending time with Jaden Daniels. Could that possibly be a curse? I don't want to throw shade, but maybe.
You're going to make Jaden Daniels get some shade there?
Maybe he's on the Madden cover. You never know.
By the way, from what I saw, I think she was trying to spend some time with Jaden Daniels, and Jaden Daniels' mom was not going to allow that.
Yes,
I know. Talk about I was actually going to say another word you can't say, a blocker there by mom.
It was good. Apparently she's dead serious. She is not going to let him hang around any women here. Apparently she's talked about that before. She wants him to focus on the football.
Hey mom, let him date Juju Watkins. Are you kidding me?
I mean, good gracious. Oh man. My best thing in sports, baseball opening day. And I'm excited for Braves fans this year. You had such bad injury luck last year with Acuna and Strider and all the people who went down. I think this is the year that you get back in contention. I'm calling it now. It's the Braves and the Dodgers in the NLCS, and the Braves are going back to the World Series this year. You know, the Dodgers,
nice.
It really should be like almost a crime if the Dodgers don't win the World Series based on the roster that they compiled here, which makes me want to root against them all the more. So go Braves this year as the season begins today. Joe, my worst thing in sports, I'm so tired of the LeBron James and Stephen A. Smith feud. It drives me nuts. And LeBron got on the McAfee show and just reignited that sucker yesterday. And since then, like, Stephen A. Smith's gone on his own personal podcast. I'm sure whatever he does on First Take today will be largely focused on LeBron. I could not care less about Stephen A. Smith and LeBron James's beef, and now it's just going to be in our face all the time here.
Yeah, I'm with you now. Like Stephen from Hendersonville said, I think this applies to Stephen A. Fart around and find out, man. You know, because
LeBron's not going to do anything.
No, he's not going to do anything. But to me, Stephen A. looks terrible, and I don't really.
LeBron looks awful too. That interview he did with McAfee yesterday was an absolute joke.
Okay,
from start to finish.
Okay, so I missed. I saw part of it that it didn't bother me that much, but I did not see the whole thing. So I'll take your word for it. I'll watch the whole thing. The part of it I saw, I was like, I was kind of on board with what he was saying about Stephen A. But yeah, yes, it is going to get. Bottom line is, to your point, it's going to get incredibly overkilled and nauseating.
I mean, I will say the one thing I did like about it, LeBron last night put a video on his Instagram of like Stephen A. Smith doing some boxing drills, and it's pretty funny.
Oh, he put a video of Stephen A. doing boxing drills?
He did. Yes,
oh,
he
God,
did.
That is
it's
funny.
Pretty funny.
I would have swung on him. Would you shut up?
Yeah.
I would have swung on him. Get, yeah. Oh, my God. Get out of here, man.
It's like, when it first happened and LeBron walked up to him on the court, it's like, okay, that's kind of funny. And now it's like all Stephen A. Smith talks about, and now LeBron's brought it up again. It's like, good Lord, guys, come on. It's ridiculous.
I mean, seriously, in like 60 seconds, how bad would LeBron fart him up? You know?
you're gonna have a lot of fun with this.
Oh, Hubert Davis, you are an absolute gift to the human race.
I'm talking
man.
About your
load. What? Okay, I don't know what that's about. I need to know, like, what, like, does Rick Barnes have a replacement word? You know?
Well, that may be something you need to find out.
I know. We got to find this out. I mean, I think it's a good idea to have a replacement word and starting with the same letter. I mean, I think that. But I mean, if you're players in those huddles, how can you not laugh?
I was about to say, there's no way I'd ever be able to take him seriously. Absolutely none.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next. Hey, they made a move at quarterback yesterday. So what does that mean moving forward? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.